It is time to get on to those fairways and those greens and those tees of the state of South Carolina and other points beyond. It's time for birdies and bogeys and biceps around the state of South Carolina. George Bryan joins us. He brings the birdies. I bring the bogeys. I'd be happy with a bogey. Sometimes I bring a double bogey. Most times I bring a triple bogey. And Robbie Thames, not with us tonight. He brings the biceps. So between George and I, we have a special guest, and maybe he'll bring the biceps to the conversation. Let me update a couple of things real quick before we welcome George in. They're playing down in Mexico on the PGA Tour, the Mexico Open at Vedanta. And your leader right now is Tony Finau, a 64, puts him at 13 under. Eric Van Ruin, a 66, puts him at 12 under. Andrew Putnam, Will Gordon, Eric Cole, Austin Smotherman, Brandon Wu. They are all at 9 under par. That's the top of your leaderboard. And we got some locals. We got Ben Martin after a 66. He's at 8 under. We got John Rahm. He's not local, but we claim him. 68, he's at 7 under. Jonathan Burge at 5 under. He's still on the course. Andrew Novak, a 72, he's 3 under. We got Bill Haas with a 71, he's 2 under. Carson Young is on the course at 2 under. Will McGirt, he is even after a 67. Kyle Stanley is even after a 69. Lucas Glover is even after a 71. Doc Redman is even after a 72. Scott Brown is even, playing his last hole. Tommy Gainey is even. He's on the course. DJ Trahan plus one after a 72. And Wesley Bryan plus eight after a 79. A very nice 71 to open things up, but a 79 this afternoon as we welcome in GB3. He's on the tee. George?
Oh, good evening. And, yeah, that I'm pulling for Tommy Gainey to birdie the last couple of holes to make that cut, two under. Pretty good score. And that's what they do out there on that PGA Tour. It's really, really nice to see Jay Bird on the right side and in contention. So he's one that I watched right here in town grow up. A little younger than, a little older than Jay Bird is another guy I watched grow up. And Coach Robert Dargan will join us. He's, I think he's on the tee. And Phil, I'll tell you what, he's fun to talk to. I like to go ahead and, as we will miss Tsunami Robbie, he had one of his buddies, his boat broke down. One of his buddies' boat broke down on the lake, and Tsunami Robbie is out rescuing. So,
well, is he taking a tsunami bar and stretching it out, and he's grabbing it and pulling him in with the tsunami? I mean, the tsunami bar is a miracle bar. You can use it for a lot of different things.
Oh, and you never can tell. He could be doing that. It is magical. You're right about that. And I'm not sure what tactic he'll use, but he's got the right kind of heart to go get his buddy off the lake broken down. We'll find out about it next week.
And okay.
This past week, I saw Coach Dargan out getting his team ready for the Southern Cross, and we'll go ahead and bring him on the tee. Let's tee it up with Coach Robert Dargan, head coach for AC Flora. Welcome, Coach. How you doing?
Thanks, George. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And, Phil, thank you for listing all those guys, all of our local guys. That is awesome to hear all those guys, and I know most of them. And what a testament to the South Carolina Golf Association and the South Carolina Golf Association and the University of South Carolina Golf and Clemson Golf and all the other schools. And also, too, and George Bryan has played a big part in all those guys, not just his kids, but a lot of those guys' development. George was right there in the middle of it, and that's a – so certainly it's a really cool thing, and that's awesome to see.
Mm-hmm. Here, here.
Well, Robert, Coach, we talked,
yep.
Phil and I spoke quite a bit about you in our early stages of developing this radio game. And I tell you, when we on the radio show, Phil and I, we got big radio golf game. So, but you were in the very beginning. Teddy Hefner actually, Teddy and I probably spoke more about you than Phil and I, but the way it was back in the day, in order for Phil and I to speak about you, or at least for me to bring it up, you had to be playing at that national level. The local stuff is where Teddy and I spoke of you. So Phil's in the middle of it. And it's been fun watching what you have just mentioned. It's a lot of fun. And you had some action going on this past week. I want you to elaborate. It's a fun – so I read about it. Wasn't there at Palmetto. Palmetto is one of the best courses in the state. And last time I saw you, you were qualifying. You were qualifying. You're fifth guy.
Mm.
Take it away.
Yeah, we've had a great season, and we've got a bunch of good players. And it's kind of a blessing and a curse to have so many good players because, unfortunately, you can't take everybody to the tournaments, and you kind of got to sometimes put them in a little bit of a qualifying situation to decide who goes. And I have a lot of kids that are very deserving and that play for AC Flora, and we're very fortunate to have that. So, yes, Southern Cross at Palmetto Golf Club, and for the old folks out there that don't know about it, it's the fifth oldest golf course in the United States in Aiken, South Carolina. It's just fabulous. And when you step on the grounds there, once you walk behind the clubhouse, it's like you went back in time 50 years. It's just lovely. And it's just, I mean, it's one of those places that's just magical to me. If you like golf, it's just phenomenal. And they had this high school tournament, Southern Cross. I used to play back in the, I guess I started playing in 1982 when I was in seventh grade. And it's been the best high school tournament that I can possibly think of anywhere, honestly. And you get a great field, you get great players, the membership embraces it, really makes it just a phenomenal event. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, because we didn't lose, we got beat, and there's a big difference there. Flora finished one shot short of Bishop England. Bishop England is no slouch here. They've won a bunch of state championships. They're private school, but they play in the 3A ranks, but this year they're 2A. Oceanside is one of the, it's like the Gray Academy, a great collegiate of Charleston. They have an excellent golf team too, and they're a 2A school as well. So those are the Oceanside won state last year in 3A, and Bishop England finished second. They should be going head to head again this year. And they're an outstanding team. They've always got a couple of kids that are going to play in college. And we came up one shot short. We had Adam Hunt, our senior, all state, 3-time all state player, who had about a 30-foot birdie putt on the last hole. And Adam's going to the University of Illinois next year to play golf. And outstanding player, been a key guy for us in seventh grade. We're going to miss him a lot. And he left it hanging on the lip. I thought he made it. I really did. And just literally like half a rotation we're going in. And then the young man from Bishop England who's going, I think he's going to Clemson, I think, or one of those schools. He's a good player, very good player. He had about a 5-footer to win, and he calmly struck in right in the middle. So, you know, that's one of those things you just go shake the hands and say, well done. And they got us by one this year, and hopefully we'll get them next time. You know, but it was a great fight. It was in the true spirit of the game, which is it was really cool to watch these young men compete like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Phil, so Coach Dargan, I had the chance the last the last 6-7 days to spend time with a little time with you, Greg McBride over at Northwoods. These names are in the foundation of how South Carolina junior golf has gotten so strong. But Freddie Wadsworth, who coaches the Hammond team, watched him coach his players this past week over Myrtle Beach at the SKESA state championship. That Mike Fanning with athletic, the head of the SKESA Athletic Association, he runs a great event, the Hackler course. And then Tommy Ganey was over watching his son play golf. So I'm watching and listening every chance I get. I pull these great players aside and ask them to either I'm watching, observing what they're doing with their team, and if they take a break, I'll recruit them and ask them to say a few things to any of the kids around. And it's just a beautiful setting. Hey, Coach, would you just educate the folks listening about the way high school golf operates? We got private schools. We got public schools. 1, 2, 3, 4A, even 5A. Would you just give us a little background on that, please?
Absolutely. Yes, you have SKESA, which is the private schools, and their season runs a little shorter than ours, Florida being a public school. So they just have their state, and Trinity Collegiate out of Darlington won. They're a multiple-time state champion as well. And then some of the private schools will actually petition and compete in the public schools, like Bishop England and let's see what else. There's a few other ones. Porter Gow does too. Now, Porter Gow did private. They finished second, I think. But you have a couple private schools. Christ Church up in Greenville is also an excellent school. They'll play up. Then you have a 1A, a 2A, a 3A, a 4A, and a 5A. And they each have their own tournament now. They used to combine the tournaments and have like a kind of an overall deal, but now they have enough participation in the smaller high schools where, you know, South Carolina is a great golf state. You have so many young men playing golf. The one thing, like, George, I think you would agree with this, like when we were coming up, there weren't that many kids playing golf. There's so many kids playing golf and young ladies that it's just awesome. And, you know, golf's such a – I mean, obviously I love the game of golf, and it's a, I'm very passionate about it. That's one of the reasons I got into coaching, to help give back. And but they have so many people playing golf now, and it's cool. And, I'm, you know, the one – there's very few positives I can take from the pandemic. I can't think of only one off the top of my head, actually. But one is the participation in golf. There are a lot of sports that the kids couldn't play, and people sort of gravitated to golf to get out. And so there's no more social distancing sport than golf, and it really did benefit the clubs, you know, and the game of golf in general. So we've got a lot of young people playing golf, and George is being modest because he didn't tell you that he's helping coach the what is it, George? What school is it? Tell me again.
You're helping Ben Lippin. Ben Lippin, I'm one of the coaches.
And he would not tell that. He coached Columbia University for years. George is like the Swiss Army knife of golf. He in South Carolina. If it's something to help junior golfers, he's there. And he would not tell people that. But, you know, obviously everybody knows Wesley and George Jr. played at such a high level. Wesley went in the Heritage, and his daughter was an extended player too. It's funny how he had three kids, and they're all great players. It says a lot about his ability to coach. And you have an awesome junior program, and guys like you are just difference makers. And sometimes you don't really see that until later on down the road. But if you look back at all these kids that are competing at a high level now, it's pretty neat to say that you were a part of that. And that's – and Hap Lathrop and all the guys in the Golf Association who built this, you know, we had the Palmetto Cup matches years ago, and where the amateurs play the pros, and Hap mentioned about – everyone, y'all guys are all good players. You'll have a chance to get back to the game. And I was in my 20s. I didn't know what he was talking about. And when this opportunity came, they asked me to coach AC Florida. Coach Harry Huntley was retiring, and I was like, I guess I could do that. I know a little bit about golf. I could help. And that's what he was talking about. And it really has been a, you know, it's hours and it's labor intensive sometimes, but it's really been a joy to be around these young kids. You feel like you're helping them achieve their goals. And the Flora program has been, you know, it was a strong program before I ever got there, and they're just getting better. And I don't feel like, and I always feel like I can brag on them because they were good before I ever got there, but they're just, you know, there's no shortcuts in golf. I thought that one of the cool things about when they had the kid, the pros talking on TV now in round, you know, they're talking about their round, the Masters and the Heritage, they mic them up, and I think that's a really neat thing. But the one thing I took from that, I told our kids, is like, there's no secrets. There's no shortcuts. It's hard work, and it's time-consuming, and you got to put the work in. And if you do, you're going to get good. If you don't, you won't. It's really that simple. And I thought that was a really cool thing to see the guys at the highest level talk about the same things we think about. It's just they're just a little better than we are, but we're still talking about the same thing. So.
And speaking of better, one of the first things, I don't know if you remember this name, Larry Boswell. He's a Hall of Fame in the Carolinas.
Outstanding player.
And so
coached Irmo, correct?
He did at Irmo. And when I started playing, I had no game. Anybody starting out doesn't play very well, and I was in that category. But he could feel my passion. But he's the first one that talked to me about, if you want to get better, watch better players. Watch them closely, and then if you can, practice with them. So, had the privilege of learning right from the very beginning, and I would oftentimes, most of the time, much like now, although I'm not my ball. When I stand over a ball, Robert, I'm swinging at it, but it's not a lot of playing involved. But I do watch. I watch really good. I watch really good. It just doesn't translate.
I'm in touch with that emotion too now. I really am. Larry Boswell he won a ton of stuff, and I played with him a few times when I was younger. And you're right. It really. I mean, it's being around better. I was fortunate that my dad was an excellent golfer, and David and us. I've always said I never took a formal lesson. But I probably took 1,000 lessons because I played with him and I played with better players when I was a little kid and y'all guys were in college. the Carolina guys played out at Wildwood where I grew up, and I would play with them. Y'all would include me in that, and that was so cool. And I mean, I was appreciative of that more than you'll ever know. And but my dad always told me, he goes, if you want to get good, you got to get your brains beat in. And what he meant by that was, I get to play with better players, usually older players, and I would get crushed sometimes. But that's just part of the deal. It made me better in the long run. And my dad would always say, don't play with people that you're going to beat up on. Play with people that you're going to have to play your best to beat or compete with. And that was – and I always tell her – I mean, everything I tell the AC Flora boys and girls team really is like my dad, what my dad told me. My dad passed away in 2005 and at 64, so too young for sure. But I feel like in a way he's coaching this team because he tells – everything he's told me and David. David's helped me too with both teams. I didn't mention that. But then my little brother, David Dargan, who's not so young. He's 49, so he's still my little brother. And but he played golf at College of Charleston. He's an outstanding player too. And everything we tell these kids and the other coaches that help us is that it's stuff that my dad told me. And it's pretty good advice. And you got to challenge yourself. And then unfortunately in golf, it's never static. Either you're getting better or you're getting worse. And if you're not getting better, you're probably getting worse. And so I like getting better than getting worse. And so I will touch on our team this year. We've had a great season. We've got we've had 5 wins, and which is good. They've won the last 2 state 4A championships. We're playing North Augusta this year. North Augusta's hosting the River Club. They've finished 2nd to us 2 of the last 2 years. So it's going to be quite a challenge for us to do it. But I think that Phil, and I know you're going to like this. Flora has won 17 state championships, and somebody else, one of our favorite teams, has won 17 world championships. It'd be kind of cool if we both won 18 in the same year. Well, I'm talking about our Celtics. We were on last night.
Yeah, I can't, you know, I have to be impartial when it comes to the in-state teams. I love them all. But, yeah, if you happen to coincide with the Celtics winning number 18, I can be happy for that. Yes, sir.
That's what I've been telling our kids all year. I was like, we got Ric Flair has won 16, the Celtics have won 18. And we're at 17, so let's go again. Well, Celtics are going to win. We're tied with the Celtics.
That's right.
Celtics are going to win this year. If we get by Philly, I think we are because we got Philly's number. And we're going to let Embiid score 40, and then we're going to shut everybody else down. And I think that that'd be a cool thing for Flora to be able to do the same. And so, but it's going to be a challenge. We still haven't finalized our roster yet. Normally after spring break, which was 2 weeks ago, you kind of know who your top 5 guys are going to be. And due to our depth, we've got we're going to take a mix. We're going to take a different number 5 guy to the region next week, different number 5 guy to the lower state, which will be in Florence. And then we're going to decide who goes to state. And then we'll take 7 to state for a couple of alternate players in case somebody is injured or, you know, something happens. But I expect that the 5 that'll start, probably the 5 that'll finish. That's usually the case. But I think last year at Forest Lake hosted, which was neat because Forest Lake is most of these kids' home course to play on the Flora team. And we shot 565, which won by like 40 shots, which was nice. We played really good. And that set the state 4A scoring record by 3 shots in the history of the state. I think it's going to take somewhere in the neighborhood of 550 this year to win. North Augusta is a really good team, and we're going to have to be – And they're a nice bunch of guys too. We get along with them. We played a lot of golf with them. So, but we're gonna have to be at our best, and it should be quite a battle there. It should be fun. And that's all you want. You want to be competitive. You want, if you win, to have to play your best to win. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I love how you guys just bounce back and forth between basketball, right back into golf, and I like that kind of exercise in gymnastics. And then one thing I'm always intrigued with, Coach, and I've heard different philosophies about trying to get your team's head right for such an event. So you got team where 5 for 4, that's you take 5 players play, but only 4 scores count.
Correct.
Now, do you coach your players to play individually, or do you coach your players to think more team, playing conservative, aggressive? What's your take? What's your philosophy?
My philosophy is the philosophy that we had at South Carolina that I think is good, is that, you know, golf is such an individual sport. Everybody swings a club differently. Everybody's body type's differently. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I think fortunately, in my opinion, everybody's mind's different. Everybody looks at things a little differently sometimes. So we'll go through the golf course. We'll play a couple of practice rounds. We'll talk about what we're going to do. And then I'll make suggestions of how we play certain holes. But then it's situational because, you know, the wind might be different. The weather's different. The tees are different. I was like, in certain holes, if they're 300 or 400 par, they're playing good. They got a little house money. Then maybe get a little more aggressive. The big thing with junior golf, I think you'll agree with this. I hope you will. Or I wouldn't say it, but is that a lot of times in junior golf, the worse a young man or young lady plays, the more aggressive they get. And then, like, if you were to take, I'm assuming we had Wesley on here, we'd ask him, usually the better you play, the more aggressive you get. And then when you're not playing your best, you take maybe a little more conservative approach. So it's really situational. The big thing we always try to stress is real simple golf, is fairways, greens, and putts. My goal when I play around the golf, I don't hit this every time, but my goal when I play around the golf is to hit 10 fairways out of 14, hit 14 greens out of 18, and have 29 or fewer putts. You two putt every hole is 36 putts. If you add that up, that's usually about 68.
Give me that math one more time. I've never really
okay.
Give me that math okay. one more and do it slowly.
Yes, sir. 10 fairways, 14 greens, and 29 or fewer putts. And then also, too, Phil, this is another one I like to look at. My dad, maybe, and Steve Liebler, who is my coach in South Carolina, par threes. Everybody thinks they should birdie par threes. You know, par threes are usually the hardest holes in the course. A guy who wins a tour event usually plays the par threes about even par for the tournament. And my dad always told me threes are like $20 bills. You can't get enough of them. They're already giving you four already. Hit the ball in the middle of the green, make a three. If you can make six threes in a round, you're going to shoot in the 60s usually. So they're giving you four, so take them. And then make two more somewhere, and then that's the round. So the whole thing we try to get is like all these young people get so – and I'm guilty of this too, everybody – is you get score consumed. The score is the byproduct of what you're doing. So get process consumed. Let's worry about the shot at hand. Let's get the ball on the fairway. Let's hit the green. The score is 4 hours from now. We'll worry about that later. If you do the right things, it'll all add up. And so you try to get them thinking in those terms and playing to their strengths, and then they usually play good. And they start thinking, you know, they get score consumed, like, oh, I'm already 5 over par. I got a par and to shoot 77. You know, that's 2 hours from now. Let's worry about getting the ball on the fairway. And so you try to bring them into the present, really. You know, let's worry. The past is the past. I made a double bogey 10 minutes ago. Let's not affect the next 30 minutes of my life. Let's worry about right now. And so you always kind of remind them of that. And there's not a lot of coaching in golf. There really isn't. Hopefully the coaching or the talking to has been done beforehand, because if you're coaching in the round, you probably got some problems. You know, it's probably going to go south pretty quickly.
We
try to discuss it with them, lay out a plan, and then I always tell them, if you need me, you give me a hand signal and I'll come in. And every once in a while, if I see they need me, they don't realize it, I'll come in and talk to them. But usually it's just to be an encourager and say, you know, hey, sometimes if they're playing bad, I'll be like, hey, so how about Clemson? We'll talk about anything but golf. You know, take their mind off of that. Get them relaxed and get them to where they're not so stressed out, and then let's just go play, you know?
Well,
that's
kind of
Coach, that's my philosophy.
That's absolutely beautiful. It'll be fun having you on in a couple of weeks, and we can talk more about how the state event went. We got less than 40 seconds now, and I want to thank you for being part of the show. I had my pen and paper out taking notes. I liked what you had to say, and look forward to.
George, I think you told me that one time. I learned it from probably you 4 years ago.
I doubt it. I think Phil might have shared that, but your coach Steve was awesome. And hey, Robert, what a pleasure. Have a good weekend. Look forward to our next visit. Phil, like always, enjoyed it. TM High, have some fun this weekend, but shoot them low.
Thank you, guys. Fantastic.